This is your town. This is your station. This is Waitley.
Yeah, it's not Jared. It's Kane Corns filling in for Jared, who is off on holidays. I'll be here for the next 30 minutes or so. Sam Edmund is going to take over after that. Still on the McCafe menu with me, Andrew Voss, as we cross the divide with him very, very shortly and look to the fallout from the Swans and their grand final, and also preview the NRL grand final this weekend. Megan Huswaite is going to join us as well. She's all over the World Cup of Basketball Australia, progressing in pretty impressive fashion, getting it done over Canada by 3 points last night. Your calls as well, 1-300-736-736. Let's go to Croydon and speak to Daniel. Morning to you, Dan.
G'day, Cornsy. How are you, mate?
Good.
That's good. Just want to say congratulations on the run, mate. It's, you're a brilliant individual, mate. So
appreciate that.
Just a quick question, mate. I hear you rave about the experience of, or lack of experience of James Hurd in the coaching department.
Yep.
Do you know the age that Chris Scott was appointed as a Geelong Footy Club coach?
I'm going to guess 34.
Yeah, and how many years did he have as an assistant coach? Do you know?
Well, couldn't have been many. Three, maybe.
Yeah. So what's the difference between that, you think, mate? Obviously, abiding what James Hurd has done in the past, why does experience actually mean something when Chris Scott has proven you don't need the 10 years as an assistant to be a successful coach?
Well, Essendon themselves said they wanted an experienced coach.
Yeah, I understand that. But he's got more experience than any of the current candidates at the moment.
Well, it was what I'm saying is it's a long time ago that he was involved in the environment, and as a lot has happened. I've got no issue with James putting his hand up, but I would have thought the best way to go about it is, you know, when you finish as a senior coach, then stay involved in the game. The role of, you know, what Michael Voss has done, you lose your job, but then you go to another club, you coach the midfield, you do the leadership group, you're a senior assistant coach, you go to the bench, all aspects you have covered. Justin Lepich has done the same, lose your job, go to Richmond, have success there, spend a year out, have a break, go in the media, learn what that's all about, then go back into an environment and have more success. I just think that is a better model. But having said that, Dan, nothing's perfect. Like, choosing a coach isn't an exact science. You've seen Brendan Bolden with the best pedigree of all time, not able to do it. And there's been others that you think are set up beautifully to have success that haven't. And then there's others, you know, like Chris Scott, that come in inexperienced and have the success. Now, granted, he took over a very good side, Chris Scott, with a lot of experienced players and had that instant success. But there isn't one right way. But the fact that Essendon themselves said, we want an experienced coach, I would have thought would have ruled James Hurd out. But look, at least I do admire the fact that he's putting himself out there and having a go. But I think it would be a mistake to go down that road with James. Appreciate your thoughts. George is in Northcote. G'day, George.
G'day, Kane. Congratulations, too, by the way, for that massive effort for that
Thank
run
you.
That you did from Adelaide to Melbourne. Well
Thanks,
done,
George.
Mate. It's just inspirational. Look, what do you think the Saints need? Do you think the Saints are really serious about Dugowie? Like, I mean, if they really want him, you know, it sounds like they're kind of like, you know, throwing their hat in the ring, but sort of partially. And then I don't understand, for a club that, again, has failed, not made it, there's all these other clubs that have overtaken them so far in the process. What do you think is happening down there? And do you think they're really serious about Dugowie?
I don't know, to answer your question. We will hear from St Kilda at some point this week, I'm sure. James Gallagher will speak to us and have his say on that and what their priorities are. I think that's the least they could do to update their members on what their strategies are for this trade period, because, as you say, it's a vital one for them. They seem a bit uncertain. Is it youth? Is it going after experienced players? Is it a mix of both? I think Paddy Ryder's a massive loss. They've always looked the best to me when Marshall and Ryder have played together. And I know, you know, time was probably up for Paddy, but I think that's a significant loss with the flexibility that he gave them. And they looked the most dangerous when he played. So he's a blow. I would think they need to address the midfield and get some speed through that midfield and some match winners. And they've been heavily reliant on Max King, unfortunately. I think that at times that has been to his detriment. and their back line is solid. So, yeah, look, I think they're a middle-of-the-road team. How do they go from middle-of-the-road to pushing for top four? That's why these periods are important, but I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure where they sit and how they're going to get out of the quicksand of being anywhere from 6th to 12th, I reckon, is probably, unfortunately, where you see St Kilda and probably don't have the side pushing for a premiership next year. Unfortunately, 1300 736 736. Let's go across the divide with our man Andrew Voss from SEN Sydney 1170. Vossy, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, Kane, in awe of you this week, mate. How'd you do it? What an effort. I could not. Like, I could think about it, yeah. Couldn't enact it. So I'm huge admiration for you, as indeed wider than the AFL community, I hope you know.
Appreciate that. Yeah, it was an amazing experience, and you're right. I did question whether it was the right thing to be doing at times with the way I was feeling, but had a great team, was really well supported, and had overwhelming support and donations, which really helped. Hey, I'm interested in Sydney and how the loss, the 81-point loss in the AFL Grand Final, has been received. There was so much buzz and hype. So many Sydney supporters in the packed MCG. The media coverage was significant. Is it crickets now, Vossy? What's been the reaction?
Yeah, it is. It's like, move on, nothing to see here. Seriously, that's what it is. I mean, obviously we have the breakfast show up here, you know, barely a word spoken. No post-mortem to be done. All over quarter time, sadly. And no fight back was coming. A disastrous third quarter as well. Yeah, just move on. And that can be our city, mind you. I did say that to Jared last week when he was sort of pushing me to say, you know, well, what's happening with the fan base and supporters? Well, they hop on the bandwagon, but they're just as easy to get off. So the bandwagon was overflowing there for a week. And then when the result didn't go their way, like, people were telling stories, you know, they watched it until halftime at the pub and then sort of went and did other things. So they were tuned in, they'd organised their day around it, but when it became too hard, they quickly found other things, which, look, is disappointing. Pardon me. Disappointing on the day, I'm getting all emotional about it, but I still think, you know, they've drawn huge positives out of this year. And if you were to talk about the Sydney market being Swans v GWS, well, you know, it's victory by knockout. You know, GWS is way back in the rearview mirror on what the Swans have achieved this year.
Yeah. All right, well, let's cast our eye to the big one, the Panthers taking on the Eels. Panthers going to start red-hot favourites. Vossy, yep. What sort of NRL grand final should we expect? And is this the one that everyone wanted, or is it a bit of a letdown?
Well, no, certainly it's never happened before. These are the two neighbours from Western Sydney, so it's a derby. It's the Western Sydney derby. Parramatta is the, I don't know what it is still now, but it's basically the geographical centre of Sydney, as the city has moved further west. And then Penrith is another half an hour or so up the freeway heading further west towards the mountains. So they're great rivals, but they've never played in a match of this stature. Parramatta all time have played in 10 grand finals, and Penrith have now played in 5. Penrith have had success last year. This is their third straight grand final. So this is a golden era. There's no doubt about that. They're a standout side, and it's not just over one season. Whereas Parramatta, Kane, wow, long-suffering fans, made a grand final 09, made a grand final 01, haven't won a premiership since 1986.
Yeah.
36 years, and that was like a golden period. They played 5 grand finals in 6 years, and fans sort of got used to it. Did the fans know when they were sitting there at the grand final 86, this is going to be the last one for a long time? So, you know, we've had people this week ring our radio station that went to the 86 grand final as an 11-year-old boy with their father, and now that person is taking their 11-year-old son to the grand final, you know, waiting for a victory. So there's high emotion around Parramatta, but it's hard to deny what Penrith have achieved. The standout team and deserved favourites, and provided they play well, should win as well, Kane, I have to say.
Yeah, love some of the storylines in the lead-up to the big game. We saw that in the AFL Grand Final. There were storylines everywhere individually. Interesting story with Parramatta's Mitchell Moses, who chose to play in the final instead of being at the birth of his child. I know you spoke to him this morning on your brekkie show. Give us a bit more information in regards to this.
Yeah, well, see, it was an amazing story. Look, the logistics of it. So the match he had to get to is in Townsville. So it's not a straightforward thing. In fact, getting direct flights and all the rest. So His wife, he'd already got to Townsville. The team went up there on Thursday. She went into labour, I believe, Thursday night. So when Brad Arthur, the Parramatta coach, put it to Mitchell, you know, you're flying home or not, he said, I can't let the team down. And obviously he'd had his chat with his partner, Bree. And with her full support, he wakes up Friday morning, I think he said about 8 a.m. And by 10:30, oh no, I think it was by 2:30, he'd watched the birth on FaceTime. So he's there at the birth watching on FaceTime, then heads out to the ground, breaks the news to the team, I've just become a dad. Like, this is all happening in one momentous day. He goes out, I must say, he goes out to play not so great the first half. Put two balls out on the full. Like, you know, made some mistakes. You can imagine his head was spinning, but he was there when it mattered most. And now he's in a grand final for the first time in his life. An amazing story. And the little girl, little Aspen is the name of the baby girl, doing great. And in fact, Mitchell came on our program this morning while on his way to the hospital to pick up his partner and baby and bring them home for the first time. So, you know, amazing. Any parent listening knows how big that is. So that's another big moment in grand final week for him, having a newborn at home.
Amazing, Vossie. Well, you enjoy the build-up, mate, before we let you go. A tip, and by how much?
Yeah, I've got Penrith winning. Penrith by 7. I think there'll be a Nathan Cleary field goal in the mix there somewhere. Penrith by 7. And I'm going to say their fullback, Dylan Edwards, the equivalent of the Norm Smith medal in the NRL is the Clive Churchill medal. I think Dylan Edwards will be best on ground on Sunday night.
Outstanding. Love your work. Thanks for your time, as always.
Good man.
Andrew Voss, breakfast host at 11:70 SEN in Sydney.